morning, brothers and sisters.
Morning.
This morning, if you have your Bible with you, can you turn to Matthew chapter 17, verse 20 to 21. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20 to 21. Can you all read this together with me? Are you ready? 1, 2, and 3. For truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Now these are Jesus' words to his disciples. Can I see a show of hands? How many of you want to have the kind of faith that Jesus is talking about? That moving mountain faith. Can I see your hands? Alright, then may I invite you to follow my sermon closely as I share with you the story of the father of faith, Abraham. I've titled my sermon this morning as Journey of Faith, and it is based on the book of Genesis, chapter 22, verse 1 to 19. This is the story where God commanded Abraham to sacrifice Isaac as a burnt offering. But before I continue, can we commit this time to the Lord in prayer? My Father, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word. Use me as your mouthpiece this morning. I know that the passage that I'm going to share this morning may be familiar to many already. But I pray that the words that come out from my mouth brings a fresh perspective, fresh revelation, rima as it were. Speak to everyone seated in this congregation, I pray. Brian gives you all the glory, honor, and praise. It's in your Son's name, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Everybody say,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. My brothers and sisters, our life journey as a Christian is a journey of faith. Say with me, my life journey is a journey of faith. Say to your neighbors on your left and right, your life journey is a journey of faith.
Your life journey is a journey of faith.
Alright, just as when we want to drive to Penang, we will pass many humps, bumps, windy roads, traffic lights. Perhaps we will even encounter some roadblocks. But when we reach the Penang Bridge, we know we are almost there, am I right? Our life journey is the same. We have to go through many ups and downs before we reach our final destination. Let us now take a look at the journey of faith of Abraham. I have arranged my sermon this morning into three parts. God's test, verse 1 to 2, Abraham's response, verse 3 to 10, and God's provision, verse 12 to 14. The passage starts with, after these things, God tested Abraham. After what things? Allow me to bring you to a brief history summary of the life of Abraham before the test. Please follow me closely. Abraham was born in Ur. When he was 70 years old, God called him to go to a country unknown to him. And so from Ur, he moved to Haran. And 5 years later, God spoke to him again to move. So at different points in Abraham's life, he has stayed in Shechem, Bethel, Hebron, and Beersheba. And not just Abraham moved, his wife Sarah will follow along, their maids, their many servants, camels, sheep. And not just Abraham's family, his nephew Lot's family too. Lot's wife, Lot's children, and their servants, their maids, and their livestock. So every time Abraham moved, the whole clan who moved with him. Abraham had a beautiful wife, Sarah. So beautiful that Pharaoh of Egypt fell in love with her at first sight. We're not talking about the Pharaoh during Moses' time. We are talking about the old Pharaoh during Abraham's time. Sarah was beautiful, alright, but unfortunately, she was infertile. Abraham was very rich and wealthy, but he had no son or children to pass on his wealth. Just like we have experienced the Asian financial crisis in 1997, in Genesis chapter 12, there was a severe famine, forcing Abraham and family to move down to Egypt for survival. Now, it is in Egypt that Abraham lied to Pharaoh that Sarah was his sister. And he did it again. He went to Gerar, he lied to King Abimelech that Sarah was his sister. Why did Abraham have to lie? If he didn't, Pharaoh and King Abimelech would have killed him and took Sarah for themselves. Because of his lies, Pharaoh exiled Abraham out of Egypt. And as you know the story later, Egypt was very hostile to the Jews. As I mentioned earlier, Abraham was a very wealthy man and very influential in his time. In Genesis chapter 13, quarrels erupted between the men of Abraham and those of his nephew Lot, forcing both families to part ways. My brothers and sisters, what Abraham went through in his life is nothing new to us. In our own lives, we go through the same thing, right? I'm sure many of you are very successful. Some of us have experienced our failures, and yes, occasionally we have our family arguments and quarrels. So what is so special about Abraham? Throughout the life of Abraham, God had made a series of promises to him. In Genesis chapter 18, God promised to give Abraham a son to Sarah. Finally, Abraham is going to have a son. He can now pass on his wealth and his legacy. But hold on. Abraham waited and he waited and he waited. Still no son. How many of you have experienced this where you thought God had spoken to you about a promise? You waited for 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, and nothing happens, to a point that you begin to doubt whether God did speak to you in the first place. Maybe God didn't speak to you at all. In the case of Abraham, he didn't just wait 1, 2, or 5 years. He waited for 20 years. Now, the Bible didn't tell us what went through Abraham's mind, so this is just my speculation. Maybe Abraham would have thought, I knew it. How can this be? I'm so old and Sarah has passed her age of childbearing. God must have meant something else. Maybe God meant a spiritual son. Or maybe God wants me to do something. Yes! That must be it. God wants me to take that step of faith. I'm sure you have heard preachers preach, God only help those who help themselves. Don't just sit there and do nothing and expect God to rain down rice and money from heaven. Give God something to work with. Take that step of faith. Maybe that was what Abraham thought he must do, to take that step of faith. And he did do something. He agreed with his wife Sarah to sleep with their maid Hagar. And as a result, Ishmael was born. But he was not the one. Because God wanted to give Abraham a son through Sarah. To cut a long story short, in Genesis chapter 21, God did give Abraham a son through Sarah, and they named him Isaac. Once again, Abraham's faith was restored. He can now really see his future secured. He can now see how God is going to bless him with a descendants as numerous as the stars and as the sands. No more doubts. God did the impossible. Hallelujah. But wait. If you read Genesis chapter 32, just one chapter after God fulfilled his promise, God says, offer Isaac as a burnt offering. Now, brothers and sisters, if this were to happen to me, I would probably lose my cool and say, wait a minute, God, you just gave me what you promised. And I waited for 20 years, and 20 years is a long time. And now you want to take it back? Are you joking with me, God? Come on, parents. How many of you are willing to offer your sons or daughter as a burnt offering? Don't you think something is wrong somewhere? Let me tell you what is wrong. First of all, it contradicts with the promises that God has given to Abraham previously concerning Isaac and the work that God is going to accomplish through Isaac. How is God going to accomplish those words if Isaac were dead? And second of all, Scripture strictly condemns and forbids the practice of child sacrifice, which was widely practiced by the pagans, and here God is asking Abraham to do it. If you read Leviticus chapter 6, burnt offering is the type of offering where you have to keep the fire burning the whole night until everything is consumed, until everything is turned into ashes. And that's exactly what God is asking Abraham to do, to burn Isaac the whole night. Think about how Abraham must have felt. This must be terribly confusing to him, right? This isn't the God that he knew. I want you to read again the passage. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. Offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. And now I want you to read Genesis chapter 12. This is the first time that God spoke to Abraham before Abraham became Abraham. God says, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Do you see the similarities between these two passages? Both requires faith. But it makes me wonder, which journey was more difficult for Abraham? Was it more difficult for Abraham to leave his house and his father's house in Ur to go to the promised land? Or was it more difficult for Abraham to leave his home in the promised land to go to the mountains of Moriah? This brings me to my second point. When God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, he rose early the next morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, his son Isaac, cut the wood for the burnt offering, arose, went to the place of God, of which God had told him. Now, if you remember, in verse 1, after these things, God tested Abraham. But brothers and sisters, it was a test. Now I want you to understand who wrote Genesis, and if you can tell me the answer correctly, I will bring you to the best nasi lemak in the whole world. Or at least that was what the Eat Time magazine claimed. I thought it was exaggerating, but anyway, still good. Who wrote Genesis? Anyone? Right here? Moses, brother, nasi lemak after this, okay? Now, these are Moses' words to the readers, not God's words to Abraham. Moses wants the readers, us, to know that this was a test from the outset. But Abraham didn't know or realize it was a test from the beginning. So how did he respond when God asked him to sacrifice Isaac? Did he wait a few days? Or a few weeks? Perhaps God will change his mind. After all, God does have a sense of humor, you know. No! Early the next morning, rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey and set out for his journey to Moriah. Wow! Such obedience. No wonder he's called the father of faith. Now the Bible tells us that the journey took Abraham 3 days. If I'm in Abraham's shoes, there will be many questions. Why? Why, Lord? Why, my son? I don't understand this. If the story is confusing to the reader, think how much more confusing it is for Abraham. My brothers and sisters, many Christians assume that the Christian life gets easier as they grow older. In my personal experience, it doesn't seem to be the case. Seems to me that finishing well is much more difficult than starting well. And the story of Abraham will support this notion. When he was first called to leave his house and his father's house in Ur, that required great faith. But something tells me that this journey to Moriah later in his life was much more difficult, much more difficult for Abraham. My brothers and sisters, starting well as a Christian matters very little compared to finishing well. Finishing well is what scriptures calls us to do. Even Christ said, he who endures to the end will be saved. Matthew chapter 10 verse 22. Why would Christ say that? Why would Christ say that if the finishing line is going to be easy? You remember before Jesus went to the cross, he prayed, my Father, if it is your will, let this cup pass from me. It's not easy for the Son of the Living God to endure the cross. Why would the Apostle Paul ask us to fight the good fight? Why do we have to fight if the finishing line is going to be easy and relaxed? You know that Paul suffered much persecution. He was in and out of prisons, and at the end of his life, he was beheaded by the order of the Roman Emperor Nero. My brothers and sisters, I'm not saying that we all must die as martyrs, no. But one thing we can be sure, it's not going to be an easy fight in the end. So let us continue to encourage one another to persevere, to fight the good fight, shall we? Back to Abraham. Why do you think that Abraham was willing to obey God to the extent of sacrificing his son, whom he loved so much? Maybe his faith would have matured like Job, for those who are familiar with the book of Job. Just like Abraham, Job was a very wealthy man, and Job had many children. But in one day, he lost everything, including his children. Look at how he responds, how did Job respond. Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground and worshipped and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Wow! Maybe people like Abraham and Job, their faith would have matured to such an extent that very few people today can still praise the Lord when they lost everything. My brothers and sisters, I want you to know that Abraham's faith was not always perfect. You remember he lied to Pharaoh and King Abimelech out of fear. But here in this episode, we see Abraham's faith was rock solid. He simply obeyed God. He simply obeyed God. I don't know about you, my brothers and sisters. I've been a Christian for so long, since I was 10 years old, and I'm still not perfect, in fact, far from perfect. And the reason why I'm still here is because of God's mercy and grace. That's all. But I pray, my brother, I pray, my sister, one day when the ultimate test comes, I want to be like Abraham, to be able to stand so firmly and nothing would move me. I know it's not going to be by my own strength. Don't try on your own strength, you will fail, my brothers and sisters. I probably know this better than anyone else, speaking from my own personal experience. I've tried so hard and failed miserably. I'm talking about spiritual matters here. It's not about self-righteousness, but you've got to allow God to work out the process of sanctification through us and in us as He brings us from glory to glory. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. After walking for 3 days, then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place from afar. Now I want you to pay attention to what he said to his servants. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey, and I, the boy, will go over there and worship, and we will come back to you." How could he say "we" if he's going to do what God had commanded him to do? I believe Abraham said this in faith, knowing that God is going to provide somehow. We can also see Abraham's faith here, how he responded to Isaac when Isaac asked about the missing sacrifice. Isaac said to his father, "Abraham, my father," and he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." Verse 9 to 10. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar, laid the wood, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. My brothers and sisters, Abraham obeyed not halfway. Abraham obeyed not three quarters of the way. Abraham obeyed all the way. And not just Abraham, Isaac too. How old do you think Isaac was at the time? Several Bible commentators says that Isaac was at least 18 to 20 years. And some scholars say that Isaac was probably 22 years old. Don't you think at that age, Isaac was not able to escape from Abraham's hands easily? This only tells me one thing. Isaac had faith too. Isaac was a willing sacrifice. And this brings me to my final point. As Abraham lifted his hand to slaughter his son, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." At the climax of this most intense moment, where Abraham thought, "This is it. This is it. I'm going to kill my son, my flesh and blood." Game over. And suddenly there was a voice from heaven, and you can almost hear the urgency in the angel's voice as he called Abraham's name twice. And what a relief as Abraham said, "Here I am, Lord, here I am." If I may act this out in the Malaysian context, "Here I am, Lord, you scared I me. Lay hard saying hola." My brothers and sisters, if you continue on, God did provide a ram, a substitute, as a burnt offering. This morning, there are many lessons to learn from this passage, but because of time constraint, I'm just going to share with you three lessons. Lesson number one, God is faithful. Our life is not a bed of roses, you know that. But when we do go through those trials, those pains and sufferings, try to remember that God is faithful. And yes, He loves us and He will provide whenever the need arises. Lesson number two, God never tempts. Although He never tempts, God does test His people. What's the difference? When the devil tempts us, he wants to make us stumble and fall. But when God tests us, is to strengthen us and is to refine us. The devil seeks to destroy us, but God seeks to purify our faith. God never intended to take Isaac in the first place. I don't believe God wants to test Abraham to see if Abraham really loved him. I don't believe that. The test was for Abraham's sake, because God wanted to bring Abraham to full faith and to full surrender to Himself. Lesson number three, obedience is better than sacrifice. Brothers and sisters, God will never, I repeat, God will never ask you to sacrifice your children, so don't do it. Abraham played a unique role in God's redemption plan, but God doesn't speak to anyone today the same manner He spoke to Abraham. But when you do hear His voice and His calling, and if the calling is in line with what the Bible teaches, we should obey. My brothers and sisters, as there are many mountains in Moriah, so there are many mountains for you and I in our journey of faith. Today, if you hear God's voice, take now your. Who is your Isaac today, or what is your Isaac today? For the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, it was his possession. For some of you, maybe it's your children, your grandchildren, or your career, for your business. My brother and sister, I don't believe God wants us to give up our business or children or grandchildren. He simply wants us to put Him first. And here's the thing, God would never take it from you by force. You gotta lay it down willingly. Just to share with you, several years ago during the lockdown, for those who know me, I import and sell high-end international kids' wear in Malaysia. My flagship store, Junior Lokpo, is in Pavilion KL and another one in Wang Utama Shopping Mall. During the lockdown, no shopping malls was allowed to open. There was zero income for my business, and yet I have to service this high monthly fixed commitment, and we're talking about a six-figure here. I still remember I could still go out to buy groceries. And one day I parked my car beside my office in Metroland Tower. And suddenly I heard a voice. Brian, me or your business? My brothers and sisters, I wish I can tell you, just like Abraham, I responded quickly and said, yes, Lord, you. But I was struggling. I was struggling because my business partner, Matthew, and I, we have worked so hard to build this business from nothing to what it is today. I can't remember how long I was praying in the car. Probably an hour or more. I was sweating in the car. I was sweating. But I knew I could not leave the spot until I had made my decision. Because the conviction was so heavy and almost unbearable. My brothers and sisters, I'm so glad that I made my choice. I'm so glad I made my decision. I chose God. I chose God. And the moment that I made that decision, I felt a huge burden lifted from my shoulder. And from that moment, I know that God is going to take care of me and my business. Due to too many months of lockdown, 5 of my competitors closed permanently in Malaysia. But Junior Lokpo still survived until today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can I have the parents up on stage? My sermon is not over. Almost, but not yet. Would you bow your head for a moment? This morning, who is your Isaac? What is your Isaac? Something you fear you will lose. Can I challenge you this morning? If God asks you to lay down your Isaac, would you do it willingly? Dare you trust God what He wants to do for your life? For some of you, you know the gospel, and yes, you have accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. But you have not yet fully surrendered because there are still things in your life that you hold on to. This morning, you say, Brother Brian, I want to lay down my Isaac. I want to trust God completely. I don't want to shoulder this burden anymore. I want God to take care of my family, my children, and my business. Would you lift up your hands? I want to pray for you. I see those hands. Thank you. I see those hands. Anyone else? You want to trust God completely and surrender yourself to Him. God will never shortchange you. Just like Abraham, He will provide whenever the needs arise. All He asks of you is to trust Him completely. Anyone else before I pray? Yes, I see those hands. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my sister. My Father, you see those hands and you know their burdens and their needs. Minister to them, I pray, as they surrender to you. Some of their burdens are so heavy. It's too heavy for them to bear. Holy Spirit, lift up those burdens, I pray. And for those who need healing, and those of our family members who need healing, Father, I pray, touch them with your healing power. We thank you, Lord. We give you the praise, glory, and honor. And everybody say, Amen. Amen. Can I have Brother Jack or Zach to lead us in the song, I Surrender All? Can we all stand and sing this song together?